Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
All right, ladies. So I have a lot to say in a short amount of time, okay? But I'm praying that you catch every nugget that the Holy Spirit wants to throw at you, okay? So you catch it and you receive it, all right? All right? All right, ladies. Shout out to my teen table over there. Let my girls, They are so cute. I love the next generation. One thing I remember when I was a teenager, my mom used to drag me to church. And it was this church. And so I was always so mad and angry as a teenager, rebellious as you can get. I mean, it was pretty bad, my poor mom. And she just kept bringing me. And God's word never returns void, right? So parents, I'm telling you, you don't let your teenagers tell you what to do. You do what God has called you to do, to be their parent, to guide them. And because of that, she had to trust God with my life, and the seeds were there. And guess what? They grabbed root in time. Amen? All right, so let's go ahead and before the Lord, let's pray, because I got to do this introduction of what Pastor Deborah talked about a little bit, because we haven't seen you guys with Galatians for about a month. All right, so we're going to do this, all right? Lord God, we just come to you and we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word that's going to go forth and not return you void, Lord God. I thank you for your living word, that your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing into our bone and marrow, Father. Lord God, I ask, Lord God, whatever we came in with, Lord God, we humble ourselves, we humble our souls to receive from you, Jesus, that we don't just receive it, Lord God, but we take it in, we grab it, we put it to root. It's not just for this sister over here. It's for me. This is for me today. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are just so faithful. So I remove myself and everything that I have gone through right now, I lay it at your feet. You use me as your vessel to do what you've called me to do. And that's to speak your word in truth. And I thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, right? Amen. So, ladies, so like I said, we haven't been in Galatians for about a couple weeks. So I want to go ahead and just catch you up a little bit. If you weren't here, we have the messages online. I encourage you to listen to each one, because we're going line upon line, precept upon precept, and we need to dig into God's word, because we don't want to rush through this. It's so much depth that we need to grab a hold of, right? So, and Pastor Deborah talked about Galatians 3 verses, I think it was verse, let me see. She ended at Galatians 3 verse 11 through 25, okay? So what was she talking about? The whole message was the just shall live by faith, right? It's not about works. It's not about you earning it. It's not about you can't earn grace. You can't earn salvation. All you can do is trust and have faith and receive it. So, ladies, so a lot of times it says in the Word of God in Galatians, it talks about in Galatians 3, if you put yourself under the law, what you just did was put yourself under the curse. What we are saying with our action is that we're saying what Jesus did on that Christ, what Jesus Christ died on that cross, it wasn't good enough when we come under the law again. The law, why was the law placed in there? The law was placed to show us, number one, Pastor Deborah said, the law was there to show us the sinfulness of sin. The sinfulness of sin, right? To show us the transgression that we were in, right? So God says we have a stony heart. In Ezekiel, it talks about God said, I will remove the stony heart out of your flesh, place a heart of flesh inside of your heart. So a lot of times when we have gone through anything in our life as sin, any kind of sin that you have gone through, all of us have come under that. What does it bring? It brings condemnation. It brings shame. It brings guilt. It brings all those things. And it actually, what it does is you put your lie under a basket. That's what we're doing. When we live under that shame, that guilt, where God says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen? So, A lot of times we go back because we're so used to being our own person. We're so used to being having an orphan mentality. Let's just say it what it is. It's an orphan mentality. An orphan is somebody that they didn't have an inheritance passed down. They didn't have a mom and dad. They didn't have those things. So what does an orphan do? Someone, they have to take it. They have to be the strong one. They have to be the one to grab a hold and make things happen. But when you are a son and you are a daughter of God, no longer do we have to try or earn it when we didn't deserve it. It says that he adopted us into the kingdom of God. Amen? And that is good news. That is good news for all of us. But why do we not see our lives transforming? Because I don't want to talk about change. Because change makes you go back to another person. But when you are transformed, you can't go back. If you are a butterfly, you can't go back and be a caterpillar. All right? This grace that I'm talking to you about, it's transformation. It is a grace that transformed you. You can't go back to what you used to do. You've come way too far to go back. This is the amazing grace. This amazing grace that God has given to us. And Paul is trying to talk to the Galatian church. He's telling them, why are you being bewitched? Who is influencing you? Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to these things. Because if you do, you're putting yourself under a curse. Who was influencing them? It was the Judaizers. The religious folks, the ones that said, yeah, you're saved, but you got to add to it. You got to do this. You got to do that. All the do's and those don'ts. You have to try. And they're like, oh, all I did was hear the good news. And I said, I trusted in Jesus. They got convicted in their hearts. And Paul was able to lead them to Christ because of the good news. And a lot of them were like, well, they're not descendants, blood related to Abraham. We are. And they had that superior attitude, thinking that they were all that in a bag of chips. All right? Right? Can we still say that? All right? I can tell how old I'm getting. You know, I'm using like old phrases. Sorry, guys. Oh, you can help me with my new phrases over there. Hashtag this and that. All right? So. They were going through, trying to be influenced by the Judaizers. And they came out of the pagan worship. They already had their rituals. If you go back into the nation and you go back into history, you can see how jacked up they were. They had sex slaves. They had child slavery. They were pedophilia going on. They were all bisexual. They were homosexual. I mean, they was nuts, right? But Jesus came and gave them the good news. And Paul is telling them, but he's telling them also, do you remember, you might not know the Mosaic Law. You might not know these certain things, but there is a person, his name was Abraham. And you are, even though you may not be blood, but because you've been adopted into the kingdom of God, you get engrafted in to what God has always planned, and it was for all of us to be saved. All right, amen? So he gives them this, and it says right here, and this is a big point, guys. This is a big point. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 6, and Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteousness because of his faith. Now, this verse sets a clear pattern traced throughout the scripture. A person is saved only and always by grace and faith. Okay, that was from the beginning. So let me say this to you. That was before the Mosaic Law. That was, God gave that promise that there was going to be a seed, just like what Pastor Deborah said, not seeds, a seed is going to come through you, Abraham. And it says in Galatians 3 that all nations will be blessed, all. That promise came with a plan, and that plan came through the Messiah. He came. And so we don't have to be orphans any longer. We can call out to our Father and say, Abba, Father, you are everlasting Father. You are everlasting God. You have the right as a daughter of God to be healed, to be delivered. You have those rights. Why? Because Jesus abolished it all. When he came down as a babe, the King of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, came and decided, okay, mankind messed up, but send me. Send me, God. I will be the last Adam. What the first Adam couldn't do, I will do. And he did. He said Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. The law had a purpose. If we didn't have the law of God, the Messiah couldn't come through the Jewish nation because it was havoc. I mean, why do you think the flood came on? God, come on, guys. The flood came on because there was so much wickedness in the world that he said that it grieved God that he made man. But there was one that saw right, that he saw righteous, and it was Noah. They didn't even say his family. He just had the grace. You know, they came under the grace. They didn't talk to me, and he was like, no, you right there, all right? And you know what? It traces back that God had a plan. So whatever you're going through, whatever things are you, what you're feeling, and you feel like you're the outside looking in at times, everybody has it better than you. Check your heart. Check your mind. Don't walk in that orphan mentality because you are not an orphan. You are a daughter of the Most High. Because the just shall live by faith. You're just, you're right with God. You are made right. God atoned. His blood covered you. You know, the bulls of lambs and the blood of bulls could not, it could only cover you. It could not wipe you clean, but Jesus. There was a hefty price for you and for me. Take it. It's not just for your sister, and yes, it's for your sister next to you, but you take it for today. This is you. This is your inheritance. Embrace it. Embrace your inheritance. Amen? All right. Okay, so number one, my title of my message is Embrace Your Inheritance. And let's read Galatians 3, verse 26 through 30, so that I can go into, because it's one statement. So I have to go into this to go into Galatians 4, okay? So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew or Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are a seed. You're Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. What is the promise? What is the promise? That you would have salvation. Grace. This amazing grace. This amazing grace. Where you feel like you've had to be strong, no longer do you have to be strong. Because when you are weak, he is made strong in you. Where you feel like you have no more anything else to give, you have nothing. The Holy Spirit, by the power of the working of the Holy Spirit, will supply you with every good thing. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about him and his goodness. He always loved us. Of course, his whole plan, he loved us so deeply that he could not do life without us. Come on, guys. I mean, ladies. I sit and ponder this every single day. I listen to the song called, I Thank You, Lord. I thank you. I thank you because where I was a wretch. I was awful. And I was in church. And I was doing all the good works because as a teenager, I felt like I failed God horribly. I got pregnant at the age of 18 and only knew my husband for 2 months. And in those 2 months, and I got married. But there was so much shame and guilt because of disappointment that I did. And then I fell into postpartum depression. Having that depression and not wanting to hold my son, thinking crazy thoughts of what I might do or what I could do to my own kid. And then coming out of it, God healing my mind to come out of it. I didn't have to be on any medication because I took myself off of it because I knew that could only band-aid me for so long. I needed healing in my soul. But when I looked up at the mighty hand of God, I remember asking the Lord, you need to help me because I don't know what else to do. And I remember God grabbing my soul up out of me and telling me, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And those were the words of my mom praying to me every, I didn't even know where the address it was, you know, Philippians 4:13 now, you know. And I remember that, but coming out of it, feeling like I'm the worst mom ever, and my son is always going to remember those things. So there was a process for me having to break free, but because of those things, it caused me to have an outlook. I want to please God because I messed up so much. I want to do whatever I can, not because I was loved, because I wanted to let him know, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. So I'm going to do whatever I can to be the best Christian, to be the best this and that, do all these good works to prove to him that I'm better now. And what that did to me, I was so exhausted. It made me angry. I had a spirit of, like, I was rageful. I couldn't keep everything, and I couldn't keep the law. And what did I do? I put myself under the curse until Jesus, until I went to breaking free. And I needed help, and I said, I need help. Because if I don't get help, my kids are going to remember this mom that is ugly and angry, and they go to church and act one way and they live a life on the other side, totally different. I need help. And I was preaching to the youth at that time. My husband was on staff here. I was living a secret life because I was afraid that if, because it says when you come under that slavery, you come under fear. You come under fear because you're afraid now, where God has not called us to live in that. He called us, number one, he called us to walk in our God-given inheritance. Our God-given inheritance. Romans 8:14, verses 14 through 16, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's spirit when he adopted you as his son. His own children. Now you can call him Abba, Father, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Amen? So now we have the privileges. Now we have the rights as children. So Galatians 3:27 says, for all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. All right? New clothes. Now, being baptized believers, we go down into the water and we come out free. Amen? That is a symbolic message that we are no longer the old man. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? We don't have to wear those ash clothes any longer, those slack cloth any longer. We wear robes of the priest now because he is our high priest. We don't have to try any longer. All we have to do is just be. Just be holy, be my daughter, be in the name of Jesus. Amen? And so, let me read. So my second point, to embrace your inheritance, number two, we need to stop trying and just receive it. We need to stop trying and just receive it. Amen? This is huge, guys. Because it says in the Word of God that Paul is talking about, and I love this, because he's talking about also, he says, under the law, when he was under the law, he said he had to stop trying. He said because when he stopped trying, he was put to death. And when he stopped trying to live the law out, he was able to live. Some of you guys have stopped living. What are you guys doing? You're surviving. When you're surviving, you can't dream because it's not an option for you, because you don't know what that looks like, because you've always had to fight for your position, for your status, for your rights, to not be something that someone has claimed over you. No longer do you have to try any longer in Jesus' name. All you need to do is receive it. And that's a hard concept for some of us. If you were a doer, if you're a Martha is always having a plan for a plan on a plan, right? If you read the sister, you read her in Matthew and Luke, you know, she was always trying to make everything better. She was always trying to like please Jesus by doing this. And Jesus told her, Martha, you're missing the whole point. What Mary is doing is far more better than what you're doing. Mary's at the feet of me. We need to be at the feet of Jesus. We need to be at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Because that's a humbling position. You can't have grace if you don't have humility. If you are self-sufficient, let's just be honest with you, self-sufficiency is rooted in pride. If you allow your insecurities to dictate your decisions on the way, what you're going to do, you are in pride. You might not be in that puffed up pride, but you're thinking more about you and yourself and what you can do instead of allowing God to do it through you. There's a difference, amen? Because that's what grace does. Grace gives you an open access to miracles. Where it was impossible to do is made possible through Jesus Christ. That's who we serve. We serve a mighty God. Amen. So I wanna read Galatians, I wanna read Ephesians 2:14, verse 15. So 2:14 through 15. It says, for Christ has been brought peace to us. He united the Jews and Gentiles into one people when his own body was on the cross. He broke down the walls of hostility and separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with the commandments and regulations. He made peace between the Jews and the Gentiles by creating himself one new people, two people groups. So guess what? The Jews that they had, the chosen people, my friend was a Jew. And it was so funny because I was like wanting to meet a Jew because I knew Jesus came through the Jewish nation, you know? And I remember just being so excited of meeting her, and her name is Sarah. And she was brought up in the Jewish rituals, and her brother is a rabbi. And I remember she came to my Zumba class, and she was just like, what do you have? Like, what are you on? Like, because, like, are you on some happy pills, or how much caffeine are you taking, or energy drinks are you taking, you know? And I was just, like, full of life. But it wasn't because of my life. It was because of what I allowed God to do in my life. I had so much anxiety and depression that I couldn't even drive down the street with my own kids. You guys, you know, like, I know sometimes you see me up here and you see me as a Zumba instructor, you see me loud, but there was a price that had to be paid for that. For what the happiness I had, the joy, because it's not happiness, it's joy because of what he did. And because of that oil and that breaking and that crushing and seeing those things about myself, I put myself under a process of healing and restoration. And she saw it. I didn't have to say it. I didn't say I was a pastor at the time. I never said I was even a Christian, because I didn't want me saying I was a Christian, because I wanted my light and my life to speak louder than what I say. And so she came up to me one day and she said, "What do you have that I don't have?" And I said, "Sarah, to be honest with you, I have Jesus." Okay, all right. And then I got to tell her a little bit of my testimony. She's like, "Oh, that's good for you. That's all. That's your truth." You know how they say that? "Oh, that's good. You got enlightened. You know, you got enlightenment by illumination or whatever, you know?" And all those, you know, new agers, you know? And so then one time she was just going through something really horrific. And she said, she called me, "Can you pray for me?" And my friend, she is very vocal. Like, she's one of those people that you don't want to be around because you're afraid that what she might say to you. You know what I mean? Because I was surprised she even liked me. Like, I was like, "Oh my gosh, she scares me a little bit," because she's really like rough around the edges, like big time. I'm like, "Oh, what is she really going to tell me?" You know, because she's going to tell me the truth, but scary, but mean, you know? And I said, okay, so I prayed for her and I got to lead her to Christ. And she came to this church. She went to the altar. I let her on the phone. I prayed with her, but she came to church, and then she went to the front, and her whole family is saved. And that is what God has given us. He says he reconciled us back to the Father so we can bring restoration to others. Our freedom is not just for us. Our freedom is for others. A person that is broke, busted and disgusted cannot help another person that is in the pit. It's a person that has overcame, not because we're better than anybody, but we chose to trust God. We chose to come under the grace of God. We chose to do what God has called us through obedience, because that crushing only comes through obedience, just like Jesus had to do. He had to be crushed through his obedience. And because of his obedience, we have salvation. So he gives us beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. That's our God. That's our Savior. That's who he is. Amen? And so moving on to Galatians 1 through 4, I want you to go ahead and read that one, because when we're going into chapter, actually, Galatians 4, verses 1 through 4. I put that wrong, guys. I'm so sorry. So, okay, think of it this way. Now, this is now Paul talking about, he's talking to them. Remember, he was telling them, there's no wall between us any longer. No Jew or no Greek, no Gentile, no any of that, no female or male. We are all one. Not saying we don't have our gender, because we do, guys. I want to make that clear, all right? We're in our DNA. If we're a woman, we are woman, all right? We are woman. We don't have to try to not find out or a definition. We know who we are, ladies. It is in our bones, right? Oh, I don't know. What the heck? Okay, anyways, I'm not going to go off a tangent. No, I'm not. I'm not, in Jesus' name. All right? And so there's those walls of separation of religion, separation of races, separation of male and female, because remember, the women didn't have the rights like what we have now, all right? So they were saying, no, if you are adopted, you have full access, baby. You have full access to me. You have full access to me, all right? So now he's finishing the thought right here, okay? So Galatians 4, verses 1 through 4. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was for us before Christ came through the law. Remember, there was an appointed time. The law was there. The old covenant was there for a reason. Remember, Pastor Deborah said the law was a schoolmaster. It was a tutor. It was a guide to protect them also from going into lawless chaos. If we don't have laws in place, guys, this place would be chaos. Okay, get rid of the police. Get rid of this. Get rid of that. Are you crazy? Okay, you must be crazy, all right? You must be crazy. But God sets laws and governments for a reason, because he's a God of order also, right? Amen? So he's telling them to go back to, this is why the law was here, but we're not under it again. So he's talking to the Galatian church again, okay? So he says right here, and that's a new way it was before us, before Christ came. We are like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. So what is that saying? It says Jesus, remember, he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. So he did it perfectly and completely. What was the law? 613 laws on top of the Ten Commandments. And they didn't just want to do that. The man made laws on top of those commandments. It came out to be 5,000 laws. He wasn't under those man-made laws. He was under the Mosaic law. Okay, but this is where they were adding to everything, all right? So he was telling them that was there for that reason, but Jesus came. Now you're not going to give, you know, as a parent, I hope you don't do this. You let your kid choose whatever they want to be or do whatever they want to do, because God has called you to be their guardian. God has called you to be their parent. God has called you not, no, they have to be subject under what, they're under your house. Guess what? They're going to be under your rules. I'm telling you, I have two adult children that live with me. Dude, if you don't go to church, you don't have to go. I mean, you got to go once a week. I'm asking once a week. And if you don't go and you don't like it, bye. I love you, but I'm not going to have that. They want to complain, then you can find somewhere else to go. I'm not saying I'm not going to sit here and cry about it and not worry about my kids, because I do. Believe me, they're in my house, and I'm like, you know, like, Lord, having adult children are so much harder, you know? It's like a different level of trusting God with their lives. Amen? Amen. All right, because when they're teenagers, you can kind of, like, shape them and mold them and, you know, help them out. You know, they don't want to listen to you, especially if they're boys. I have three boys in my house, all right? So, woo, it's hard. So anyway, so you don't give them, you're not going to give them the keys to the kingdom or keys to that car when they're 5 years old. All right, hope not. Here, honey, you can use them. And like, no, you're going to guide them. You're going, so the law was there set in place for those things. Amen? So moving on to that. So in the book of Galatians, it's all about justification through faith. Shackles off, free to live. Justified by faith in Jesus. It is a gift of God's amazing grace. We can't earn it by following the law or doing good works. Not saying that God did not make us for good work purposes, because he has. It's a different mentality, ladies and gentlemen. I it was really hard for me to grasp this, because I come from a family that my mom was so amazing. I'm so blessed for my mom that she took me to church since I was like 6 months old. She took me. Like, I remember going to, there's Loopy over here, if you know Loopy. I was with her at 6 months old. She was praying for me. Lord help her. No, I'm just kidding. I was a sweet little girl. But then I told her, a teenager, she was like, Lord, really help her in Jesus' name. And so I remember, but I come from a broken family. And my dad was a drug addict. But I loved my dad. I loved him so much. I remember just wanting to be with him. He was my hero. I remember not even knowing he was an addict, because he never did that in front of me. But I knew something was wrong with my dad. And I remember this concept of, can you just be, Nicole? Can you receive my love? Can you stop trying to do something that I've already done? And for some reason, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't grab the concept because of my brokenness with my father. Father's Day is a hard day for me. My dad passed about 4 years ago of drugs. And all those years of me praying as a little girl for my dad, I'm so glad at the last moment I got to lead my dad to Christ and be with him, even though he couldn't fight for me. God used me to fight for him. And I had this mindset of an orphan. Like, my dad Todd is my stepdad, but he is not my stepdad. He raised me and my brother and my sister. He's the one that stood up in the gap and took on being my father. But because of the brokenness of my dad, I couldn't receive the love of my stepdad because he was my stepdad. He wasn't my dad. And we treat God like a stepdad. He is not our stepdad. He is our everlasting father. He never changes. Never changes. So for me, trying to grab a hold of this, God, that God loves me, but he loves the whole world. But he says, I love you. I love you. And this is something, I was in ministry, guys. I was preaching at the pulpits, but I did not know the power of God's love. I was trying and earning it. God, do you see? God, do you see? Do you see me? And God says, I've always seen you, daughter. But you're trying so hard to be the best mom. You're trying so hard to do all these things. Can you just be? And guess what? A year and a half ago, he stripped every title away from me. I had nothing. I wasn't a pastor at the time. God called us out. And I was like, I didn't realize I put so much identity in my position. Had no idea. And it was humbling. And really, I have to take you back to the beginning of my love daughter. Because you're learning how to be this and this and this. I need you to come back to the beginning where it started. You are my daughter. Without all those titles that you've carried and accumulated with, you are my daughter. And that was when my dad passed. And for some reason, when my dad died, I feel like something died in me. I felt like an orphan all over again. I felt like God forsaken me. And he said that he would never leave me or forsake me in the wilderness. And I felt like, God, where are you? I don't feel you. And God says, and then one day after a year, because I didn't hear him for a good 8-9 months. I'm going to be honest with you. It freaked me out because I was like, what is going on? For me not hearing God, like I usually can hear God. Where are you, God? Remember what Pastor Joe spoke about last week? Sometimes he will hide for you to find him. And God took me back to the beginning. And he says, do you believe when your husband, he's in your presence, do you believe he loves you? And he says, I love you right here, right? Right here? I love you. But when he goes off to work, do you still believe that? He's not in your presence. He's at work, but you still believe that he loves you. And I said, yes, so why can't you believe me? Because I'm waiting, because I'm wanting the feeling. I want our emotions. Our faith is not a feeling. Our faith is an action. Amen? So God was getting me to a point of a different relationship with him. I had to know it in my inner, deep, so deep inside of me. No matter what I'm going through, that is so rooted and grafted, just like Ephesians 3 says, that it's so rooted inside of you. There's no depth, no height, no width, none of that. You will understand it because it's so in you. Amen? No matter what. No matter what. And that was a life-changing thing for me. It was hard. I'm not going to lie. I felt really like I should know this. I've been in church a long time. I've been preaching the word. I've been doing all this. I should know this. And God says, you know nothing. You know nothing. You can't keep going off the revelation from 5 years ago, from that revelation to that revelation years ago. God has a new wine, a new wineskin, not the old wineskin, just like what Pastor Joe talked about last week. Amen? Embrace your inheritance. Number 3, be restored by God's grace. This grace has been given to us. What we could not do, he did. We can walk in our God-given freedom in Christ Jesus. When we have no strength, he does. When we feel like we can't overcome, he did. We are not bound to sin and death any longer. We are free to live. You know what? Freedom just used to be a word to me. Not saying I'm arrived, because I'm telling you, I'm broken even right now preaching this word. This word is for me. But I'm not going to allow my brokenness to dictate what God wants to do. I'm not going to let my brokenness speak louder than the brokenness that he did on the cross for me. I'm not faking it to making it. I'm faithing it to make it. Amen? Stop trying and start being. Stop trying and start being. So be restored by God's wonderful grace. And what does that look like to us? We got to receive it. It's already been done. We have the keys. Ladies and gentlemen, over there, out over there, back there. We have the keys. We don't have to be locked out our homes, out of our homes any longer. Look in your purse and you will find them. Receive it right there. It's right there. What do we have to do? We have to allow God to restore us. And that's a process. You have to put yourself under that process. Now, I had to put myself under this process in front of a group of ladies, and I was like, I ain't going to say anything. Because I was so petrified of them being judged because I felt so judged in my life that as a teenager, I was like, I am not trusting anybody in church. Or even pastors, because they are failure. I had such a bad attitude because of what happened in our last church. Not this church that we left, but when I was a teenager, we left. It was totally spiritual abuse. Totally. So seeing this man of God and doing this to my family, he's supposed to be like the father, you know. He's a priest. He's a pastor. He's supposed to cover you, but when he uncovers you in front of everybody, it was awful to see my parents go through what they went through. So I made a vow not to trust anybody in position or leadership or a pastor. But when I went through Breaking Free, wow, Pastor Joanna and Pastor Joelle, I am who I am because of them. They believed in me and Donnie. They mentored us. She let me say what I needed to say, not judging me, loving me to life. Loving me to life through God's amazing grace. And it changed me. I'm not that broken, busted, and disgusted teenager or pregnant person at the shame and guilt. God has set me free. And it was through the power of God's love and his grace and not being ashamed of my testimony and not being ashamed of where I used, what I came out of, because that spoke volumes because of what God has done, the price that was paid for me. I was able to receive it. Amen. And so be restored by God's amazing grace. Just be restored by it. So Ephesians 1 through 7 through 8, it says, he is so rich in kindness and his grace that he purchased our freedom with his blood and with his blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and all understanding. And I love that scripture because it says with all wisdom and all understanding. Why? Because I couldn't grasp it before. I couldn't. If you can't understand it, you're not going to receive it, right? So every mind that is going through, like, I don't know how, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And he is going to give you that understanding and that wisdom. And you're going to have your own revelation of the Father's love. You're going to have that. And some of you guys, being been in church a long time, don't think this message is not just for you. It is for all of us. Doesn't matter how old or how young we are. We're still daughters. We're still children of God. I got to take off my pastor hat when I come in here and I'm listening to other people that are not. I am not. No, I am a child. I am receiving. I want the most of everything that God can give me. I'm humbling myself. God, what else? What else do you want to give me? You're a God that gives gifts. What else can you show me? What else can you tell me about your love? Because your love is vast. It's wide. It's so amazing that you can't even like understand it, but you understand it. Does that make sense? It's so big and so wide, but you don't know, but you can. It's so big. Amen? And number four. So, to embrace your inheritance, you must just embrace it. Just embrace it. Why go back on being a slave? He paid a price, too much of a high price for you, to go back on putting on your old clothes again. When you have been baptized, it says you come out of that water and you're a new creation in Christ. Okay, questions to you. Why are you still walking as an orphan? Why have you put yourself under the curse again? We all have done it. I've done it. In the last 2 months, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me doing these messages. While hearing people speak about this message, I was convicted, like, oh my gosh. I wonder why I feel like I'm striving and I'm can't. Doing that feels like you, no matter what you do, you can never get ahead. You're like that hamster that goes around and around and around and around and around, you know? And you're like, where? Like, that's insanity, you know? And I realized I was going insane, you know? I was like, what the heck, you know? And God said, you need to repent because you're trying again. You are not an orphan, Nicole. Why do you feel more comfortable at being an orphan than a daughter? Because it's easy to have a victim mentality. To have a victor mentality, you're a fighter. Not a fighter because of everything that I had to fight for what I... No, I'm not talking about that. You know where you're fighting. He's the one that fought for you. It's different. It's different. Amen? So why are you striving where we can just be? Just embrace it. Just receive it. Stop trying and let God restore you by his wonderful grace. His grace, he says that you can run boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain grace and mercy in a time of need. I always say this, I'm a needy person because I'm always in need of my Savior every single day. Amen? So let's close with this last scripture. It says, let's go into it. We're ending with Galatians 4, verses 6 through 7. I can't believe I almost got through with all this. Thank you, Jesus. And because you are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but a child. And since you are a child, God has made you his heir. You have the keys to his heart. Amen? You do. Do you know the freedom of calling him Father? Do you really know what that is? Freedom is not just a word to me anymore. Freedom is a price that was paid for me. I don't just think I know it. I walk in it. I don't go off my feelings, even though sometimes I cry and I'm just upset and I have anxiety just like you and just feel like I can't do it. And God says, but I can. I have freedom to call him my everlasting Father. It's so much deeper because he's everlasting. He's never going to change. Amen. So before you go, is it okay I pray for you? But before, I would like to have Pastor Tracy to come up real quick. And I want you just to listen to these words. I want you to humble your heart. And I want you to close your eyes. Do you remember what it is to be just to call him Father. Ladies, don't give me the church in ease or whatever you want to think you want to say to me to make it sound like I know it. No, I want us to check our hearts. And maybe you have a heart of gratitude because God has given you that revelation. That is amazing. But God wants to give you a new one today. So we're going to quiet our hearts and our spirit. And we're going to just listen to this and just receive it. Day that we grab a hold of Jesus and we say, well, I'm not letting go until you bless me. And he's saying, daughter, I already have. Walk in that God had given authority. Walk in the miracles of God. Because let me tell you something. You are the miracle that God fought for. And wow, that he gets to use our pain for his glory. No longer will the devil use our pain for his glory. We submit it to you, Father. And we give you all the praise. Receive it, daughter. Receive it. Receive it and just be in this amazing grace. This amazing grace. This amazing grace. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.